Now, this is a very rare opportunity for me to reflect on the present and express my ideas about the future to our own House of the Book Association. But I'm very glad to have the opportunity to share with you some of my views. I'm perhaps in a unique position because of my very colorful and rich experience, which covers more than half a century. As you probably know, I was born in Zhytomyr, near Kiev, where there were about 40,000 Jews. My first language that I learned was Hebrew. I spoke Yiddish, but studied Hebrew. And I want you to know, when I was 3 years old, I stood on a table and read the Leviticus. You see, and I still see it, I still remember it, you see. And as you know, I've lived in many lands. I've lived 20 years in Israel, and I believe I've learned many lessons. And if anyone were to ask me, what is the quintessence of the 7 decades of my experience? What is the quintessence? You know what I would answer you? And I would best answer you if we take the prayer, Aleinu, the adoration. In my opinion, in that prayer lies the quintessence of my outlook on life. That one prayer. Aleinu leshabeach leadon hakol. This is a prayer that we pray. It is incumbent upon us to praise the Lord of all things, to ascribe greatness to the Creator, since He did not make us like the nations of other lands and did not place us among the families of the earth, since He did not destine us for what He destined them, nor did He intend the same fate for us as for the multitudes of people. So if you ask me, what is the quintessence? What have I learned in the 70 years that I have lived on this planet? I would say to you that I have learned that we are a distinct and different people and have a distinct and different task. And the task is also in the prayer, in the Aleinu, you see. And the task is, letakein olam b'malchut shaddai. That's the task. To perfect the world in the image of the kingdom of the Almighty. In other words, we have an image of a world that we want. We have some ideal of a world. We have some notion what kind of a world we aspire. And our task is to perfect the world. I was brought up that it's my task and my Jewish people's task to perfect the world, not to perfect the Jews. And that we are distinct and different. And again, make it clear. The Bible makes it very clear, not that we are better. No, we are not better. And we were not chosen because we are this or that. No. But for reasons that I'm not a great scholar to understand it, we have somehow been chosen for a task. And the reason that we survived, while all the other great people that lived in our time, and they were very great cultured people, it's not that they were pagans or they were no good, and we were the great culture. No, no, no. Greece and Rome and Egypt and Babylonia and others were very, very high cultured people. But somehow we undertook a task. And because we undertook that task, in my opinion, we survived, recognizing that we are distinct, recognizing that we do not want to become something else. And when we wanted to become something else, we were lost. We lost 100,000, people even say up to 1 million, Jews in Alexandria. you see, because they somehow took on the Greek concept of life and gave up the task. Those of us who survived, survived because of this. And I would say that the quintessence, the great lesson that I have learned in my long life is just this. And this motivates me. This determines my outlook. This determines my attitude. This determines my way I look at the present. And this determines how I visualize the future. It's a very interesting thing that a very young boy from Harvard, a BCI, who's now at Harvard Medical School, made an appeal to the BCI alumni. Most wonderful letter that I'm holding in my hand. It will be published in the next newsletter. You will see what can happen in 4 weeks, an extraordinary gifted young boy. I want to quote from his letter to me. I want to quote because it's related. It's very much related. He says, the achievement of BCI was not that it filled me with learning, but that it filled me with the desire to go out and learn. So if I knew little upon leaving BCI, this at least I did know, that I am a Jew, that my being a Jew has significance for the world. Listen to this. That my being a Jew has significance for the world. And that through self-cultivation as a Jew, I will come to understand and appreciate that significance. I had known before that I was a Jew, but had never attached much significance to that fact. Even had I thought it significant, I could never have imagined it significant for the world. And even had I been impressed by the global significance of my Jewishness, I would not have known how to begin to cultivate it. So I had come a long way in 4 weeks, but my long way was just the beginning. You get the meaning. The significance of his Jewishness to the world. This is exactly the basis of my outlook, that Judaism and our Jewishness is of great significance to the world. I don't know, for instance, another religious group which will have Lo Yisa' Goy El Goy Cheref. Neither the Greeks, nor the Romans, nor the Egyptians, nor the Babylonians, nor any of the great, great nations. Somehow their poets did not come up with Lo Yisa' Goy El Goy Cheref. Or have a concept of kiddushim, of holiness, that is connected with right measures, not to fool a person, to love a neighbor. This is holiness. I don't know of any other religion who has this concept of holiness, or of Shabbat, probably one of the greatest gifts that we gave mankind, or of our concept of this parsha of the Yovel, of the Jubilee, of how to handle that the land belongs to the Lord, we are mere tenants, that there is no private property in the real sense of the word. It's only you can occupy it while you are alive, but it isn't yours. When the founding fathers of this great country wanted to have some great idea to put on their liberty bell, what do you think they put in? From this parsha of this weekend? And proclaim liberty to all throughout the land. Didn't take it from Rome or Greece or Egypt or Babylonia. This means certain areas of human thought and activity are somehow coined by our forefathers, by our people, by our outlook, by our views. And if we have a task to perfect the world, then the problem of our survival, Jewish survival, is a very serious problem. It's my opinion, and I am not conceited, that our Jewish people have a genius of great value to mankind. And therefore, the problem of survival is of paramount importance. How did we survive? Nobody survived. Of all the great nations in whose midst we live, nobody survived. How did we survive? What caused us to survive? In my opinion, first of all, we knew we had a task in life. Then we were concerned. Remember I told you many times of my Zaydi, that he used to divide the people Sahartim or Sahartim Nisht. See, he used to tell me, don't bother with the people with Sahartim Nisht. Go only to people with Sahartim. Is he concerned? Is he not concerned? Many people are not concerned. Leave them. If you can change them, change them. If you cannot, forget. Go after the people, the Saharte. Oh. See? And we Jews, I know that where I grew up, those 40,000 Jews, many of them were Sotegahart. They were concerned. Many of them. But many of them. I, for instance, will never forget that in our hometown was a Hevre Kadisha, a society for the burial of the dead. It was called the Holy Society. The top leaders of the community, the richest Jews of the community, belonged to that society. You know what they had to do? If a poor man died, they took turns. They would wash the corpse. They would dress the corpse. There were no Negroes or Mexicans or Feisverdorten to do the dirty work. No, they. It's Hevra Kadisha. It's a task. It's a hard team. And the top leaders, you just imagine if you would visualize the top leaders of our Los Angeles community, that they are in Hevra Kadisha, and they have to take turns to wash a corpse and put on the tachrichim on that corpse. Just visualize for a moment. I, for instance, know that my mother, bless her memory, I couldn't understand when I was a kid. But I know that my father used to be mad at the Seder. Mommy wasn't there. No? Here we came from the synagogue for the Seder. Mommy wasn't there. Where was Mommy? And the maid wasn't there either. Later I found out there were Jews who lost their fortune. They wouldn't go for charity. So there was a group of women who brought them the Seder when it was dark, that nobody should see. Because those were very sensitive. A special group, a special chevre, special society. And they took over an hour or so, and they had to go when it was dark, and the Jews were in the synagogue. So at that time, they weren't brought a Seder to this house and a Seder to that house. See? Because they wouldn't go to charity. It's a hard say. I could tell you many things. I never saw a maid, an old maid, until I came to Berlin, 1923. I was born in 1898. This means between 1898 and 1923, never saw an old maid. There were no old maids in Zhytomyr. They were married off. How were they married off? There was a Hevra Achnusa Skala, no? There was a Hevra who collected money so that she had a dowry, so that she had to do what not. It was the concern, you see. Who gives a damn here? Nobody was concerned. And I remember my mother, to be again personal, I remember she used to get her maids from her hometown, Norinsk. And then after 2-3 years, she used to marry them off as a niece. Became nieces, they became. And a niece, you know, had yiches. Because my family was a well-to-do family, you see. So they had yiches. So married off everyone. Then I remember we had a maid, Surke. Her name was Surke, Sarah Surke. She was very unattractive. Very. And we were 5 kids in the family. 6 we were, but 5 were at home. And we used to say to ourselves, Mommy will have a hard time with Surke. Will not go easy with Surke. Mommy didn't listen to us. Mommy got the shotgun. Mommy connived. Mommy did this. And there was a date set for a young baker to come and see Surke. We kids wondered, what are they doing to Surke? What? We peeped through that keyhole to see. You know what they were doing? They were padding. In those days, a thin, slim girl was considered tuberculosis, you see? And he wouldn't marry, he would be afraid to marry a slim girl, you see? So they padded her up all around and she looked fine, and he married her, you see? It's a heart. So I was very much surprised when I came to Germany and saw German Jews, so many old maids. Why? Because the German Jews didn't care. But my Zhytomyr Jews did care. Or the Kyiv Jews or the other Jews. So the second thing is we were concerned to Tunzka heart. The third point, in my opinion, is that we had great faith in our standard of values. Very great faith. We didn't give a damn. My Yom Ro'a Goyim. What will the Goyim say? Not. I never heard anybody give a damn. Nobody cared what the Goyim will say. You see, we had our standard of values and we held it in high esteem. And we tried to live up to it. What the others did, isn't right, let them do what they want. Not our concern. Oh, we did care. Liot or la Goyim. To be a light to the world, to be a light to this, yes. This was a task to perfect the world. This was our concern. But my Yom Ro'a Goyim, what will say the Goyim? Never heard it. See? But heard plenty of the Orla Goyim. And the fourth point, in my opinion, was that we were willing to pay the price for all this. Was self-understood that you have to pay a price and willing to pay the price, including our own lives. And sometimes we paid with our lives. And it seems to me that those four important, very important principles are responsible for our survival. And then we created the institutions for it. First, the family. The family. What an institution. And how the rest of the world envied us. What an extraordinary institution. Then we created a community and a synagogue, which answered our needs at that time. And we had a relation to Eretz Israel. Had a relation to the land of Israel. I can never forget how mother, before she lit the candles, there was a pushke, and she dropped the coins. They used to come every 6 months, somebody from Israel, from Palestine, and used to empty the pushke, and it was a relationship. And when we prayed, when we did pray, it all made great meaning. And somehow, I know somehow, that Eretz Israel was very real. I remember the Tisha B'Av, for instance, could have been a sunny day. To us kids, it looked gloomy, rainy, dark, It would be a bright, sunny day. So were we conditioned. This was the day of destruction of the temple. This was the day of taking away our liberty. This affected our looks. And it didn't matter what the eyes really saw, mattered much more what the heart felt. Therefore, when I think of my life, how it evolved, I understand now its naturalness, you see. At 16, I remember I was a member of an underground Zionist youth movement. It was underground. The Tsar prohibited, was against the law to have any kind of this kind of Jewish association. And I remember we used to stand guard to see whether the policeman is coming or somebody is coming, and then we had to disperse and so on. But at 16, Then came the revolution. I was 18 when the revolution came. And I must say we were excited. And we kissed each other on the streets. And it was great hopes. I remember as a kid, I had extraordinary hopes. As here the great new way of mankind is coming. But I very soon had my disappointment. Came pogroms. Pogroms. Now, I was used to pogroms. 1904 I had pogroms. And we used to go away. Mother and we used to go to Berdichev, which was next door to us. And Berdichev had 90% Jews. See? And Berdichev had thieves, Jewish thieves. And the Jewish thieves didn't let the goy make pogroms. They knew how to fight. So Berdichev never had pogroms. So Berdichev was a kind of a safe place for us to go because they are this. And I remember my father for the first time got a gun. And he and a number of other people who remained had guns. You see? In other words, they came to the idea they have to fight. They have to protect themselves. They didn't depend on police. You couldn't depend on them. And I saw pogroms. Probably the meanest thing in my life that I've ever seen were pogroms. But I saw pogroms, and it made a deep impression on me. I came from the army, and here pogroms. I remember I came home, and there wasn't a thing left, nothing. So I went and bought a tent and had a suit made of a tent. Didn't make a great difference to me. Now, the lesson that I learned then and was later reinforced in my life in Israel is that we Jews have to learn how to fight. Just have to learn.